Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Oh, I just love being with Tara.
I love you, my Beanie. And you know what I love
more? Radio. What?
I can see in your face that you've been in the Word and just lifted.
I know. I feel lifted. I came in a little downtrodden, but I know that my God is my Redeemer and my Restorer and my Healer. But we're human.
No,
and I think
no.
Tara and I were just talking about that. You know, when people... when we get hurt by people, we get hurt.
Yeah.
And I think people just expect us to never have problems or...
No. Like, or to mess up.
Yeah.
I've been confessing a lot lately about the bondage of perfectionism.
Mm.
Anybody else out there have issues with that?
Goodness. Praise God. That's not my struggle.
Oh, yeah.
I go the opposite way.
Perfection, not perfectionism. I didn't even know it was that bad, man. It's bad.
But God is good, and He is so quick to forgive. And I, during our prayer time yesterday morning, and confessed in front of like probably 30 prayer people the bitterness I'm struggling with a person. And it started with me, and then there was like six other people that confessed, the sandpaper people in our life.
Mm.
And it humbled me because I'm like, oh, sometimes you feel like you're the only one.
Hmm.
Like I'm the only one, but yet I love God and I'm struggling. I shouldn't be struggling. Anyways,
it's crazy.
So God is good. And we've been studying from chapter 3 in the book of Luke from Terror Rise
really,
Bible study.
Really focused in only on two verses if you think about it.
But her study's called Wishing Forward, 7 Moments Jesus Prayed. And there's just been such a revelation for me because I've read Luke. And we're doing the Bible in 2 years, and I've actually gone through it twice. And I never even sat at the verses that we're sitting at with the heavens being opened and the voice of God and the affirmation of obedience. I never thought about those things.
Mm.
And I think for me, it's a check of taking time in the Word instead of just getting through it.
Mm. You know, it's so important. There's something about sitting and soaking, because I, too, read through the Bible with a daily plan,
yes,
but this year I decided to slow down, and so I won't allow myself to read more than a chapter a day. That's all I will allow myself to do. I'm taking my time, and so my goal was just the New Testament. I didn't do the Old and the New. I'm just doing the New Testament, and I mean, I am taking it slow, and you know, because then I do that, and I have, you know, usually a Bible study I'm doing as well, and then my prayer time. But in the past, typically it was, you know, 5 to 6 chapters in a day to do the whole Bible in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said about slowing down and just sitting and soaking in a spot and reading it over and over, reading it in 5 translations, 6 translations, 7 translations, whatever, looking it up and taking the words and asking, well, are these in other places? And what does it look like in other places in Scripture? And that's what we're going to do today.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah. And one of the things that struck me when we were looking at John the Baptist and Jesus and his baptism was how profoundly God revealed his love and affirmation for his son. This is my son who I love and I am well pleased. And the fact that it says the voice of heaven. And in my mind, Sabrina, you probably know, be able to pick up songs better, but I kept thinking, you know, are there songs out there that talk about the voice of heaven? Or you quoted, I think, 2 weeks ago, the word of God speak, you know, and so I started wondering, God, you know, how many times did the voice of heaven speak? And I don't have these in order. I'm just going to share them because I'm actually sharing writing that I'm in the process of writing. So they're typically, I like to have things organized where we go from the front of Scripture all the way through. But as they were coming to me, I was writing them down. And so they're out of order. But God will use that just the same. And so obviously the first one's Luke 3:23 at Jesus' baptism. And for me, I want you to think about this. This is God proclaiming who his son is. The voice of heaven, and I don't know, in this section, I think I'm gonna analyze it as moments that were so profound the voice of heaven had to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay? And what was it that was so profound that the voice of heaven spoke on? Because if the voice of heaven, which is the Father of creator of heaven and earth chose to open up the veil to give us words? What was it that he was wanting to communicate that he would allow the audible voice to be revealed? Because if the audible voice of God was being revealed, then we need to really listen. And so that's what I was looking for. So obviously, my son, whom I love, mm-hmm. and I'm pleased with him. Okay, so we know how he feels about Jesus. The next thing I wrote down was in John 12:28. Sabrina, if you'll turn to that one. In John 12:28, this is Jesus is predicting his death. And, you know, just after his triumphal entry, and the crowd heard the voice that spoke. And he actually explains to them, he says, the voice was not for my benefit, but for yours. Sabrina, would you read John 12:28 for us?
Yes. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't start the round.
Go ahead.
Let me read that again.
Okay.
Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again.
Thank you. Okay. Gave us the completion of mm-hmm. what it was. So who is it that's being glorified?
God.
Yeah. The name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And based on the fact that we had studied last month, John 17, Jesus made it very clear in his prayer that was he was here to reveal the glory of the Father so that the world may know who the Father is, that they may believe that he had sent him, that we may be one, that we may lead people to know him, to glory, bring glory to the Father. It always goes back to the glory mm-hmm. of the Father. So the Father reveals through his voice, his son, his love, and his pleasure for his son. The Father also used his voice to speak so that man could hear, because Jesus says, this voice did not come for me, it came for you, so that we would know that the glory of the Father's name mm. was glorified. So his glory will be made known. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to reveal his son, to reveal his glory. Now, all right, do you see? It's not, you know, things that we may think that he's out to reveal. And it's important we catch the things that he is revealing because it's his character. And remember last month I was talking about that it's the character and the word of God, the character and the word of God. And you're going to see how these support that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Luke 9:35. This is when Peter at the Transfiguration doesn't know what he is talking about. Scripture actually says, and he did not know what he was talking about. And then the voice of heaven opened up and said, and so would you read 9:35 mm-hmm. to us, Sabrina?
Then a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. Peter, poor Peter.
I just wanted you to know it's been hard for me not to talk about this particular passage this whole month because I cannot hear the proclamation of this is my son without thinking of God saying, Peter, you know, listen, this is my son. I chose him. Listen. Right. Would you listen? And so we have here the revelation of his son, the revelation of his glory, and a command to listen to him.
Yes, a command, not a suggestion.
It was a command, a command to listen to him. Is that amazing?
I love it.
And again, the affirmation of who he belonged to, he is my son. Not only is he my son, he's my chosen son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the Father's making it clear what he's wanting to have revealed there. Okay. Turn to Deuteronomy 4:36, Sabrina. And this one here is Moses is going to be the one that's speaking. And
Deuteronomy 4:36.
Okay. Read Moses' words.
Okay. He let you hear his voice from heaven to instruct you. He showed you his great fire on earth, and you heard his words from the fire. Oh, that's right.
And this is he's chewing out the people. And depending, she's in the Holman Christian Standard. Yes. In the NIV, it says that he allowed you to hear his voice to discipline you. Okay, so God uses it as a command. He uses it as a revelation of his son, his glory. But he also used his voice to discipline or instruct the people.
Mm-hmm.
when they needed to hear what they needed to hear. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of shocked, and I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. Somehow I never caught all these times the voice of heaven spoke until I did this particular series, and then I was blown away. Okay, another one happens in 2 Samuel, verse 22 through 14. So open that one up. And this is a description of what it looks like when the voice of heaven speaks. Okay, 2 Samuel 22 through 14. You can find it. 2 Samuel disappeared.
Oh, there we go, 2 Samuel. Yeah.
2 Samuel jumped away.
I was
away.
Going too far. 2 Samuel what?
22, verse 14. And it's King David. David,
I gotta
who's
keep
speaking.
Up with Tara.
I'm going too fast. Sorry.
2 Samuel 22, verse 14.
Right.
The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High projected his voice.
Ooh.
Projected?
Yeah.
He needs to project.
That would be a scary thing to hear. The NIV says the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High, but projected means that he's speaking from the diaphragm. You know, I mean, that's like
his
deep voice. And the thunder, can you just hear?
Deep begets
deep. The thunder roar, the mountains tremble. If God's projecting his voice, that is not going to be something where the earth's going to stand still. Okay? And so what I wanted, why I did this one is because I wanted us to see how the earth even responds to the voice of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even the rocks will cry out.
That's exactly right. Okay. Nehemiah 9. Go to Nehemiah 9. I told you there was there. I know there were a lot of great places that this comes up, and I just was so amazed. 9:13, and this is a reminder when the priests are reading of the restoration that's to come, and they are proclaiming what the Father did at Mount Sinai. Okay, so it is a time of remembrance because we need to remember when the voice of heaven spoke. Okay, and Nehemiah 9 is Nehemiah. Let's see if you go. Are you having a hard time finding it?
Yes, I am.
I can pull it up. Hold on, I got it. Nehemiah, Esther. It's Ezra. It's like right in there. Those little guys
they
right
all
before
get stuck
Job.
Together.
They do get stuck together. Does anybody else have a hard time? Let's do a Bible drill. See if you can get there quicker.
Nehemiah.
I got Nehemiah 11. I got Nehemiah 9.
Get them all stuck together.
She's using a smaller Bible. Mine's.
Okay, I got it. Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah 9.
You beat me. 9:13.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them impartial ordinances, reliable instructions, and good decrees and commandments.
Okay. So when the voice of heaven came down, what did he give them?
He gave them impartial ordinances.
Yeah.
Reliable instructions.
Reliable? Listen to those words. Impartial. Essentially, it's the Ten Commandments that come down, right? Commands.
Good decrees. Think so they all mean the same?
No, he's just describing all the, you know, like you can describe something in many, like, you know, they were reliable, they were impartial, they were commands, they're decrees. They were things that we were to follow. And so they're speaking and affirming that. Daniel 4:3. Read that one. And I did this one in the Holman, so you're going to have it in the exact verse that I wanted it.
Daniel 4:3.
Yeah.
Yay, I found
and
it right away.
This Thank one you, here is with King Nebuchadnezzar. And
Daniel
4:3.
Okay.
It says, while the words.
How great are his miracles and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is eternal kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation.
No, that's not the verse. Daniel?
Daniel 4:3.
Okay, then maybe I got the wrong one. All right, so we won't worry about that. Here's the verse that I have. While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it has been decided. Sovereignty has been removed from you. And so it's the proclamation of how the king was going to be removed from his position. And so the Lord used it as an opportunity to do a proclamation. So not only did he project his voice, but he would also give proclamations against someone who was out of his will. Okay? So it's amazing the different times. And then I'm not going to have us look them all up. In Revelation, portraying the second coming of Christ, Revelation 4, 1, 8, 13, 10, 4, 10, 8, 11, 12, 11, 15, 12, 10, 14, 7, 14, 13, and 18, 4 are all passages that reveal the voice of God proclaiming about the second coming of Christ. Now, I took the time to go through all of those because I wanted us to see the voice of heaven, when he speaks, there's something very important we need to have and we need to listen to. And so some of the things that we were looking at was who his son is, mm-hmm. how he feels about his son, how he feels about his glory and our response to his glory, the importance of listening, that he, that literally creation physically responds to the voice of heaven. He uses it to protect truth, to proclaim a command of something that's coming, to give a command. Okay, the voice of heaven speaking is not something that was a one-time event. It actually was something that happened historically throughout the nations. The Lord communicated with his people. And that is the key, is that the voice of heaven will communicate with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in dialogue, and he's not going to leave us in the dark of what we need to do. And right here, he's told us what we need to do. Listen to my son. I love him. I sent him. I chose him. I'm pleased with him. Pay attention. When he says something, listen. And that is for us an encouragement or an exhortation, an admonishment in many ways. Are we really listening to the son like we should? Have I paid attention to the things that I've learned that Jesus has said and done? Because he came to preach, teach, and heal, and to do the will of the Father. And he wants us to be in relationship with him. And our response to the voice of heaven determines our relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to obedience. Because when we walk forward in obedience, it reveals and fulfills righteousness now. It's huge. It's key in our life. And so the challenge that each of us need to walk in is asking ourselves, am I walking in righteousness by obedience now? And what I know I'm supposed to do by listening to Jesus and what God has said. We're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. And we just want to encourage you to come back. And next week, we'll begin a new series on the Wishing Forward. God bless.